speaking.
50 years ago, in the world of stock car racing, was a very important day. Want to bring in NASCAR Hall of Fame historian Buzz McKim, who joins us on the program live from Carolina to give us some perspective on what happened 50 years ago today and why it's so important. Good morning, Buzz. Thank you for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you, guys.
So what happened 50 years ago that paved the way?
Yeah, well, Wendell Scott from Danville, Virginia, made his first start in NASCAR's Premier Series at Spartanburg, North Carolina, and they had an 18-car field that it was a Thursday night race, as a matter of fact, and he qualified ninth out of 18 cars, but he lost oil pressure after only 52 laps, and he finished 17th and made all of $50. But that was the first of a pretty remarkable career. You know, he was the first African-American to win a NASCAR race. That was in 1963 at Jacksonville, Florida. And, you know, he was top 10 in points for four straight seasons, 1966 to 1969. And, I mean, he ran everybody's hand-me-down equipment. He never had anything really good to work with. So for what he did with what he had to work with was just phenomenal. He had incredible character, tenacity, dignity. He was definitely one of my heroes.
Buzz McKim, as we hear, historian at the NASCAR Hall of Fame. First of all, thank you, guys. I went to NASCAR Hall of Fame. You guys took good care of me down there. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, that's great.
And that was a wonderful, wonderful place. People should check it out. I got to say, looking at Wendell Scott's debut and his history and his record, this is 1961, you're talking about, the 50th anniversary now. It's 1961. The towns you mentioned, you're talking about Deep South, you know, Jacksonville, all the other southern cities. First African-American guy to win 495 career races. Did he face, like, the Jackie Robinson kind of pushback that we're familiar with?
Well, in some areas, he had the support of Bill France Sr., the founder of NASCAR, right, behind him. Bill just felt that he was really good for the sport. But, you know, Bill really couldn't control what went on a local level.
Sure.
So, you know, Wendell did face a lot of adversity. And, you know, he started in the early 50s. And kind of on a lark, really, their local racetrack owner there in Danville was asking the cops, "Hey, do you know any good black drivers? I'd like to have something a little interesting to spark up the show a little bit." And they said, "Oh, yeah, how about Wendell Scott? We've never been able to catch him." He's been running moonshine. And he also drove a taxi cab. That's how he met his wife, Mary. He would literally hundreds of feature events in the sportsman division, and he was the national Virginia State sportsman champion of 59. So, I mean, he had credentials coming into that first race in 61.
Talking with Buzz McKim, historian for the NASCAR Hall of Fame. While I ask this question, you would think that he would have been a trailblazer, but we certainly don't have a lot of blacks in NASCAR in the main circuit. So I guess my question would be, why not?
Yeah, well, if you look at auto racing across the board, there's not very many minorities in there. And, well, like you have Lewis Hamilton now in Formula One, and you had Willie T. Ribbs and a couple of the other fellas in the IndyCar series. But, you know, traditionally, those guys as kids don't have access to go-karts or legends cars or anything like that. You know, a lot of the inner-city kids are going to grow up playing baseball, basketball, that sort of thing, and they develop their expertise in that realm. So the opportunity isn't really there growing up. But now, you know, NASCAR has the Drive for Diversity program, and Revolution Racing is a phenomenal racing team now. They're giving minorities one heck of an opportunity, and they're finding a lot of talent out there. And they have, let's see, in fact, they're here at the Hall of Fame this week. We have the CIAA championships here, the tournament here, and Revolution Racing has a nice display up, and you know, we're showing the Wendell Scott movie tomorrow, and pardon me, and it's giving a tremendous opportunity to these kids who have a lot of talent. Darrell Wallace Jr., Mark Davis, who came out of this program, who actually has driven in several truck series. Eric Almirola, who is driving for Junior Motorsports this year in the Nationwide Series, and he ran Cup for Ganassi. He came out of the Drive for Diversity program, and you have a lot of good female drivers that are coming along too. There's a Michael Cherry, who's awesome, I could go on and on about these kids that were, that NASCAR is discovering by just giving them the opportunity.
Buzz McKim is our guest, historian in NASCAR Hall of Fame. Great, great history, great 50-year anniversary for NASCAR. How about this season? We're talking about, you have an historic Daytona. You get this, guy barely 20 years old, wins the race. And now you got the change in the point system. You think it's going to be a different year? Jimmy Johnson not going to take it this year?
I think he's going to have his work cut out for him, but he's kind of sneaky. He usually comes on strong after the halfway point of the season. But by the way, these other guys are running. Like Jeff Gordon hasn't won a race in 66 races, and here he wins last week.
Yeah,
it's showing a tremendous amount of interest now. People are really starting to pay attention, and I think it's a combination of everything. The cars look a little different this year.
Yeah, they do.
And you've got a lot of new talent coming up, and you have the Cinderella story at Daytona, and everything is on a real positive swing right now, so we're pretty excited. And if NASCAR gains, then that is definitely a gain for us.
Here Buzz, good stuff. We appreciate it very much. Thanks for some perspective on everything.
Oh gosh, anytime, man. I'm honored to be on your show, and I just
no, you really shouldn't be. Trust me.
But I'm easily impressed.
Apparently.
Thank you, Buzz.
Anytime.
Bye-bye. Appreciate it. That's the Hall of Fame historian.
It's actually
a very
cool
NASCAR
place. It's fun if you're ever down there for any other reason. We covered a Ravens Panthers game. So I don't know, but it's a fun museum.
All right, it's time now for.
Attention, radio students of the Norris and Davis Show. Here's what we learned today.
I learned I'm ready for the weekend to start. You?
Ditto. Ditto, a little fried here, yes. Now, I think what I've learned is that I sounded kind of like giddy talking to Tom Zbigniewski, and I'm glad I'm going away because I don't want to hear it replayed because I was kind of gushing over him with the boxing. I just love boxing. I'm so excited he's fighting, and I think I just may reveal the man crush. I'm very upset about this.
Well, would you prefer we don't play it? I mean, would that make you feel a little bit better?
I don't care. We're out of earshot. Do what you want.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. You're going on vacation next week to Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
So fortunately, because we have Kevin here, Kevin will post this online.
Yes.
So people can go listen to it. You'll see Ed at Pazzo's on Sunday.
That's true.
So make sure when you see Ed to razz him a little bit about the man crush he has on Tom Zbigniewski.
So excited about this fight.
All right. What did you learn today? I learned that we might get a lot more of this. Barack Obama.
For an industry that's making $9 billion a year in revenue, they can figure out how to divide it up in a sensible way. Owners, most of whom are worth close to $1 billion. You got players who are making millions of dollars. The two parties should be able to work it out without the President of the United States intervening. My expectation and hope is that they will resolve it without me intervening, because it turns out I've got a lot of other stuff to do.
Here's what I learned along those lines, that we're now in a situation where if they have a work stoppage, it occurred to me that all we've given is fodder for politicians to chime in on something that we don't need to hear them, because that's what they're going to get. How's it going to impact your community? What can the government do? What about the antitrust exemption? They'll have fodder, and they'll have a convenient excuse to not to deal with more important stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I think I learned today hearing that soundbite. There could be a lot more to come. Kevin, what did you learn?
Well,
today?
I'm not going to take the intellectual route.
Shocker!
In the last 24 hours, I learned. Yesterday, I said I was taking the commissioner out for drinks. Remember?
Yes.
And after a few gin and juices, I learned that the commissioner has this uncanny ability to spot women with boob jobs, nose jobs, and men with toupees.
I am uncanny.
It's unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
And he also has a man crush on Zibby.
That. But I was actually picking him out like this last night.
Well, I could see two of the three. Boob jobs, easy.
Yeah.
Hair jobs, easy. Nose jobs. How do you smell out the nose jobs?
Pun intended?
Yes.
You can tell. You can tell, especially when they're a little off. It was like a little, a little upturn here. And a little.
So that's a bad nose job.
Well, it's just not a bad, but they become more visible, yeah. Why?
You look at the eye a little bit. Sometimes there's a little tweak up there.
That's usually the nose. You see like
the
weird nostrils.
Her nose, real or fake?
Oh, fake.
What are you kidding? fake.
Her boobs, what did you think?
I didn't see them, but I was,
We were looking at somebody on ESPN.
Mike Singletary, real. Everything about him is real.
Except he really can't
crazy.
Coach.
And he's crazy.
That's about it. All righty. Well, that's going to do it for us. Ed, Puerto Rico bound.
Yay!
Oh, did you learn anything today about what you want to do in Puerto Rico?
Yeah, I'm going to a cockfight.
You should do that. Report back.
I will. I'll cover it for you.
We had a guy call in. And
I
say
will call in with coverage from the cockfights.
Do that.
How about that?
Do that. Because I mentioned earlier in the show, I'm certain most of you didn't hear this. We were discussing this earlier, that when I was in Puerto Rico, they have a place you can do that. Monica and I decided, nah, a little sketchy, but you're tougher than I am. We had a guy call in, say it's perfectly safe to go there.
They went to a strip club instead. He didn't tell you that.
Much safer. Yeah. Much safer. That's going to do it for us. The Mark Viviano Show is next. Have a great day. And the forecast.